You're listening to Fivefold, a faith anthology. I'm your host, Terry Chapman.
My name is Malia Adcock. I grew up in American Fork, Utah. I live in Provo now, just going to school at BYU. Very unsure about my future and what I want to study, but you know, it's life and I'm figuring it out. So,
wow, yeah, I mean, I feel like I've never had a more, I guess, honest introduction than that.
I'll be pretty honest, so I'm not afraid. So,
all right, so let's talk a little bit about you. So you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, like a majority of people on this podcast. Were you born into the church?
I was, yeah. So my mom grew up in the church. My dad is a convert. But yeah, I was raised a part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay. And have you been faithful all your life? Or were there ever moments where you, I guess, questioned where you're like, okay, is this what I want? Am I sure this is what I want? Maybe there's something else?
Yeah. I think everyone kind of has those moments in life, just moments of questioning, which I think is good because that leads us to like figure out what really is true. For me, I feel like I was just like born a believer. Like it always just kind of made sense to me. Like I've always held the gospel of Jesus Christ really close to my heart. Even growing up, like times where I didn't fully understand or it was just kind of almost routine, it still just like made sense to me. And then growing up, just trying to figure out like what was true for myself, it just like, I feel like I feel like I just gained a deeper understanding that just added on to what I already knew was true. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. So let's talk about, I guess, you know, fast forward throughout your life. You've been a believing member. You decide to go on a mission. What goes into that, you know, that thought process?
Yeah, that's a good question. I never thought I would serve a mission. Like that was never part of the plan. I grew up like, I was so shy as a kid, just like so afraid to talk to people. And very hesitant of just, I don't know, putting myself out there. So the thought of serving a mission like scared me so bad because I knew I would have to not only like talk to strangers, but also be very vulnerable about things that I believe that other people might not believe. But I remember like in high school, I had a really good group of friends. And senior year, a lot of my like guy friends were really thinking about serving missions and like putting in their mission papers and preparing. And I didn't think anything of it. I was like excited for them, but I didn't think anything of it for me. Then I went to college in my freshman year. My roommate was preparing to serve a mission. And I think at that point, it just kind of was a thought in my head, like, oh, like I could serve a mission. Like that's, I'm like at that age. I'm at that point in my life. But I didn't, once again, I didn't really think anything of it, but then the thought just like wouldn't go away. So I was like, okay, yeah. Like, I think I need to figure out if this is really something that like God wants me to do. And so I just like started praying about it. I started reading from the Book of Mormon more. And at that point, like I had never really read from the Book of Mormon or even like the Bible like on my own, like for myself. Like I read it like with my family, and there were times where I would be in the habit of like reading from the scriptures, but like I hadn't really read every day like trying to figure out like if it's true, like if the Book of Mormon is true. And so I was like, okay, that's probably where I really need to start. So yeah, I started like praying about if I should serve a mission. I started to read from the Book of Mormon every day and like ask if it's really, if it's something I really believe in, if these really happened, if like, I don't know. And then I just, I don't know, like one day I was talking to my mom, I was like asking her like what her thoughts are if I should serve a mission. She's like obviously that's something you need to decide on your own, but like if you just like take the steps forward, like the Lord is gonna like lead the way. And so I decided to just open my mission papers and just like start the process of just preparing for a mission, but keeping my mind open for whatever possibilities would come. And then it came to a point where I submitted my papers and I got my mission call, and I decided that I was gonna open my mission call on my own because I just wanted to be able to like really like feel every feeling and like feel every word of that like call, you know. And so I remember like opening my mission call on my own. I was just by myself, and as soon as I started reading, I knew it was something I needed to do. But like the moment I read where I was going to be serving, it was like I have never felt the Spirit in that kind of way. Like I knew that the Lord needed me to serve a mission and to share like the gospel, like his gospel, with like the people in Arkansas. And the reason I say that is because like I don't know if I've ever told you this, Terry. I don't know. My sister, about a year before I left on my mission, I actually visited Arkansas.
Really?
And obviously, like, that was before I was even planning on serving a mission. And the reason I had gone was because my sister, once again, just like a reminder, I'm from Utah. And my sister randomly decided that she wanted to go to the University of Arkansas for college. That's not like a school that like people from Utah decide to go to. Like it was very random. But she felt like that's where she needed to go. And so she went to the University of Arkansas for like her freshman year and the beginning of her sophomore year. And then she decided she felt like she needed to come home, back to Utah. And so, like a year before my mission, me and my sister decided to fly out to Kansas City because my brother was doing summer sales there. And then we would drive to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and see her friends and spend some time there. And then we would drive back together. So I had visited my mission a year before I served my mission without knowing I was even going to serve a mission. And then like, so when I read that I was going to be serving in the Bentonville, Arkansas mission, I was like, there's no way that this is a coincidence. Like, this is a divine assignment. Like, I knew it was, I knew it was like from the Lord. And it was such a testimony to me that like, not only is God real, but he leads, he is the head of his church and gives revelation through a prophet in these days, which is just bananas to think about. Like, it's all just craziness. But like, for me, like that was such a sign, like it was such a testimony builder that like the gospel is true, Christ lives, his church is on the earth, there is a prophet, and like I knew I needed to like share what I grew up with and share the light of Christ with like the people of Arkansas and Missouri, of course, because I served there as well. But yeah, that
wow.
was
okay.
I guess that was my journey of like deciding to serve a mission.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. Let's talk a little bit about being on your mission. Was it a difficult adjustment? And I guess give me some maybe low lights and some highlights of, you know, serving.
Okay, yeah, for sure. It was a huge adjustment. Like I said, like I was so shy before my mission. And I remember like the first 6 weeks of being in the mission field, so my first area I served in Bentonville, and my first 6 weeks I was just like a hot mess. Like I was just so afraid of rejection. I was so afraid to be open about my beliefs. I was so afraid of just like messing up and like screwing things up that I just was shut down. And so I had a really hard first 6 weeks because I just was always in my head. But my companion was very patient with me and she like helped me. And then I was transferred to Fayetteville, which was like a huge, I don't know, that was pretty big because I knew like with my sister being It was the ward, the same congregation that my sister would have been before, like in the young single adult congregation. That's where I was assigned. So I knew, I was like, okay, like it's time, like the Lord, like the Lord trusts me. Like it's time for me to like go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, where my sister was. And so that was like a big confidence booster. And then my companion at that time really pushed me to like get outside of my comfort zone. And I pushed myself, and I just challenged myself every day to just be more open about my beliefs, to talk to strangers, to really like become who God knew I could be. And so that definitely like helped with the adjustment. And then like, I mean, the missions are really hard. Like you're away from your family, you're doing things that you don't typically do. You're talking to strangers, you're talking about religion, you're getting rejected, but also like you see so many miracles. Like you see God's hand in every little detail, even the hard times. So like missions are so hard, but like for me, like I loved every second of it, even the hard times. I mean, in the moment I probably wasn't loving those hard times, but like looking back, like I wouldn't trade those experiences for anything. So I don't know, I'm trying to think of like specific experiences, because I don't know, of like low points, but I can't really think of like anything, like nothing really comes to mind right now of like my low like my low points. But like the first part of my mission was a struggle, and honestly like the end was also like pretty hard, because I knew like I was going home soon to see my family and like go back to normal life, and I was just constantly being reminded of that. So like I couldn't, it's like I couldn't really get it off my mind. And so I don't know, the end was pretty hard as well, but mostly the beginning of the mission was very difficult.
That seems like it. I mean, I've never served a mission, but that seems like it makes sense. You know, given leaving your family and, you know, really having to I guess be on your own for the first time. Is it difficult to live with another person, you know, have someone else at your side 24/7? I'm assuming that's a big adjustment too.
Honestly, I thrived having a companion. I've realized, like, especially actually like since being home, and also during this whole like COVID-19 thing, like I realized that I'm definitely an extrovert. Like I love being, like I get so much energy being around people. So like I honestly loved having a companion. I loved having someone to talk to all the time. And so like, yeah, there were definitely like things that were hard about having companions, especially like, I mean, you're not going to get along with every companion that you're assigned, but at the same time, like I knew that I had each of my companions for a reason. So like learning to get along with different kinds of people. But I loved having a companion. When I came home, like I was so, it was really hard coming home for a lot of reasons, but the biggest thing was like the adjustment of having to be alone at times. So like to distract myself from like just missing the mission, I would just make sure to be with people all the time. And so whatever that meant, like I kind of forced people to be my companion. And like even today, like I realize I'm like the worst. Like I'm always talking, if I'm by myself, like 90% of the time I'm probably talking to myself, because I'm like, I just like miss having someone with me all the time. So
yeah,
I actually really enjoyed having a companion, but that's not the case with everyone.
I mean you seem to have a more positive take on that. I like that. So, for those who are listening who don't know, our stories cross over just a little bit. You were actually the first, I guess, the first face in terms of me learning about the faith.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, you are the first person who taught me, along with Sister Anderson. So sometimes it's still hard to call you by your first name. It's almost like you don't have one.
That's okay. You can still, I'm still technically Sister Adcock, so you can call me whatever you feel you feel cool with.
Yeah, that's true. It's just I'll text you and I'll be like, Malia.
Yeah.
It just roll. It doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
No, for sure.
But yeah, no. So our stories did cross over. I remember that I did ghost you guys for a while after I, you know, took a free Book of Mormon.
That's but, okay. It all worked out in the end, right? So.
Yeah, it did. You guys were able to help me do a paper for a class about the church,
that's so
and
cool.
then in exchange for a lesson, and I guess I just kept coming back. So thanks for that.
Thank you. So, are you kidding? That was, seriously, you were one of the highlights of my mission for sure. Like, I feel very grateful.
Well, thank you.
That I was able to meet you and that we still like keep in touch and stuff. So.
For sure. Yeah. No. Let's talk about a little bit when you got home. You talked about how the adjustment was a little hard. In some ways, do you feel, I don't know how long you've been off the mission now, but is it still difficult sometimes?
Yeah, so I've been home for like a year and a half, which is,
oh, wow,
like the same amount of time that I was a missionary, which is pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
Life has been, I don't know, it's been, I've honestly been thinking about this a lot because, like I'm in school right now, I'm going to BYU, and just, I don't know, I've been pretty frustrated because, mm-hmm. like, I cannot figure out what, like, I'm supposed to do, like, for my future, you know? Like, I wish I could have been one of those people who, like, knew since they were five that they wanted to be a writer or a doctor or whatever it was, but, like, that was never me.
Mm-hmm.
I've always just, like, constantly been changing my mind about things that I want to do with my life in the future, and I constantly mm-hmm. think back to my mission because that was, I kid you not, that was the one time where I never questioned that what I was doing was right. And it was like, not only that, but like I loved it. Like I loved being able to just have like such a deep and meaningful purpose. I loved being able to talk to strangers and like that's what I got to do all day, just like talk to strangers and having really meaningful conversations. Hey, what's up?
Is
yeah, she's there. Yeah, for sure. Sorry, I'm like sitting outside and my friend just got sideways. But
no problem.
Yeah. So yeah, I loved, what was I saying? Just like having
well, you were talking about, yeah, never feeling like you knew you weren't doing anything wrong or
yeah,
never
yeah,
questioned
yeah.
it.
Yeah, like I loved every aspect of missionary life, even though like it was hard at times. So like I think back and I'm like, why can't I figure out like why can I not find something that I'm like passionate about, like I was passionate about like sharing the gospel, you know? And so I think that's been like a huge adjustment, just like coming back to normal life and like having so many things be about, I mean, I don't know, I have to think about my life and my future rather than focusing on other people and helping other people, which I feel like maybe I should incorporate that more. That would be a good idea, incorporating helping other people in my life, but I don't know, it's just so different.
That would be a good idea.
It's just like very different being home, so I don't know, it's definitely been an adjustment, especially like being very confused about my future, but like I just
yeah.
trust that like I'm trying my best, I'm doing good things, I'm still trying to live a very like Christ-centered life, which is not easy, but
mm-hmm.
I trust that if I do my best, like God's gonna lead the way, and one day I'll figure it all out, maybe, I don't know, but the Lord knows, so I just trust in that.
Or is everything still, you know, closed down with the pandemic in Utah?
Luckily things are starting to open up again. Life is like kind of normalizing, but at the same time it's just so weird. Like I'm watching this kid ride his bike. He's probably 5 years old and he has a mask on. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Life is so weird right now with this whole coronavirus pandemic, but things are
yeah,
starting
I mean,
to normalize.
It's definitely, I don't know, it's an experience that we will be able to tell like our grandkids.
Oh my gosh,
and they'll be reading about in the history books.
No, for sure.
It's
so
to me
weird.
It's so crazy because it's not just us, it's not just a state, it's not just a country, it's the world.
Oh my gosh,
it's
the craziest thing. Yeah,
Yeah, in a way, I feel like we've never been like as a human race. I feel like we've never been more unified than we are right now.
Oh,
despite,
for sure.
You know, whatever political divisions there may be in the world, I feel like this is kind of a unifying thing, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I feel like there's been a lot of good that's come out of it. Like, I feel like I've, like, a lot of relationships have, like, sparked, or at least just, like, blossomed, like, friendships and stuff because of this whole thing. I don't know, that's something I've experienced. Also, like, people are getting so creative about how they're spending their time. Like, I feel like I've definitely spent so much more time outside, like, in the last couple months, just because, you know, a lot of things that I would typically do might be closed. Like, I couldn't go to the mall. I couldn't just go shopping when I was bored. Like, instead, I'm like, I've been, sorry, that was a really loud car. But
it's okay.
I feel like, you know, I've just been, like, spending more time outside, which has been really nice. People are getting very creative, which I appreciate.
Yeah, no, I've seen that you're always posting on Instagram. You're always going on a lot of hikes, doing a lot of outdoor stuff, and it seems like I'm not saying you've never appreciated the world before, but it seems like you've got a new appreciation of everything.
Oh my gosh, so absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. How's it been for you?
So, you know, for me, it's been Illinois, we're still technically closed down until the beginning of June. Okay. So it's been a little bit, and I don't exactly live in a scenic area. I live just outside St. Louis in Illinois.
Okay.
And the way I've kept myself entertained is I walk my dog probably 5 miles every day.
Oh my gosh.
So,
wow.
Yeah, that's been my way of getting outside. And sometimes my family and I will go on hikes together. Other than that, it's been a lot of movies, a lot of Netflix.
Love it. Yep. Yep.
That's the way it's been.
Love it. So, yep, that sounds very normal.
Do you have any shout outs you want to give to anyone? Anyone who's maybe helped you on your journey?
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah, let me think. Okay, shout outs. Big shout out to my parents for, like, obviously raising me in the gospel. Shout out to all my companions. I feel like I'm just gonna say, especially, I loved all my companions very equally, but I do have, like, a very, like, great appreciation for Sister Montoya. She was, like, my second companion. And Sister Prescott, she's my soul sister. I just feel, I don't know, I feel like so many people have impacted my life. It's so hard, but honestly, like, I've realized I've gained, like, I don't know, the people who touched me the most were obviously the people that I was able to, like, meet and, like, teach and, like, have really meaningful conversations with. Like, you, obviously, like, you were huge in my mission, like, just the experience of meeting you and, like, the miracle that that was, and our friendship now, as well as, like, Danish. I literally love Danish so much. I don't know, just so many people.
Oh, Danish is great.
So many people that I met, like, the members, like, the strangers, like, I don't know, I just feel so grateful for so many people. It's hard to give out shout outs.
I guess I didn't prepare you for that. So, all right, I want to thank you for coming on, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Oh my gosh, Terry, thank you so much. This is so fun.
Thanks for listening to Fivefold. If you enjoyed it, be sure to share it with your friends and family on social media and help spread the word. Thanks.